Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask for your guidance tonight. We ask for your leadership. Lord. We ask for all that you can do in us, Lord. We can't do anything without you, Lord. We try sometimes and get messed up. So we just ask that you guide us and lead us tonight. Lead us into some discussions that will help everybody. And Father, we just praise you for that. We ask, Lord, that you be the leader tonight. We ask, Lord, that you do the guiding and you do whatever it is that we need to hear from you, Lord. We've tried everything that we know and failed miserably at everything that we ourselves have tried to do. So we're just going to leave it up to you to guide us and lead us and direct everything that that happens tonight. I know that you've got something great for us, and I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to guide them, prompt them when it's time to say something, and Lord, I thank you for that. I just praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each one of us. And Lord, I lift up Alexi. And Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for the work that you're doing in that boy's brain right now. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in his body. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in his family, that you're bringing great and bold faith to the surface here, that they just go ahead and praise you for his complete healing and restoration, because we already know it's done. Because your word says it. Your word already has told us that he's healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. I command all fear, doubt, and unbelief out of, away from him in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit's going to prevail. And I praise you, Father, for his complete healing, that it would be a testimony and an evangelistic tool to bring that whole family closer to you, Father, and that they won't put you in a box again. But they'll say, oh my goodness, God can do anything. He healed my son. He was dead, now he's alive. Father, I praise you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing it for Alexi and Lynn, his cousins. And we just praise you, Father, for that. And we command any condemnation out of Jesse in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that boy's heart for you. We ask, Father, that you come show him in a dream what you're doing in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Chad, that you're bringing him back closer to you, Lord. And I command every one of those tormenting spirits off of him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you're giving him clarity of thought once again. In Jesus' name, amen. And I praise you, Father, for this president that you've put into office up there in Washington, D.C. I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon him. I thank you for your warrior angels that are stationed around him and his family, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you grant repentance to him and his family before it's all over, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for guiding him and leading him in a mighty way. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for draining this swamp of corruption and evilness. And I praise you, Father, you're doing that not only in Washington, D.C., but in the church world too. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the things that you're doing in each one of us, my brothers and sisters here, to bring us closer to you, Father. Because we can't do anything without you. Nothing. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you tonight's going to be an awesome time, Father. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request? Hey, Dirk and Paula. Hi. Go ahead, Tracy.
Hey, Michael, can I give a testimony?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope I don't break up. Well, we had prayed for this woman in the UK that's part of our group, and she had an issue of blood. It was cool. When we prayed, she had been bleeding for over 30 days, maybe 40. I don't remember exactly, but she came in. She was just really defeated and drained, and we prayed, and, you know, wasn't a long, long prayer, just a prayer of faith. And anyway, she came in today in the morning group and gave her testimony that she went to bed, woke up, no more blood, it was done. I was like, yeah, Lord's awesome. Praise. Isn't he good?
He is so awesome. He is so awesome. Thank you, Father. I bet she was on fire for the Lord, too, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah, man. It's amazing. Praise God. I said, girl, you got to type that up, you know? Put it on the website. Praise God.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Let me tell the backstory on this. There's a girl that lives across the way from me in the apartment across the way. Anyway, she went to one of the meetings, and she never wanted to go again. She said something about us being a cult and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, a couple of weeks ago, she asked me to explain to her the two dragons or the dragon and the beast in Revelation 12 and 13. So I got an opportunity to shed some new light on it. But anyway, she asked for a prayer for tonight. She's, they cut her back her hours. She's got very little work now. They hired somebody else, and that took her bunch of her hours. So her name is Pam. Anyway, if you join me in prayer. Lord, we pray for Pam and her work situation. You know her needs, Lord God, and pray that you would supply her needs. She is a believer, but she doesn't believe everything. And help her to have enough work to be able to survive and make a pretty good living and so on and so forth. And help me to minister to her the truth of God's word and help her to receive that too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just ask that you come to her and bring and show yes, her where her mistakes are, where her error is, not believing the whole word of God. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that Pam's going to come in. She's going to ask Leon all kinds of questions. And, Father, we praise you for that. He's going to have the answers, too, in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up Alex to you, and we command every wall that's up there that's keeping him from passing his test in the name of Jesus to come down. And we praise you, Father, that now he's going to pass the test with flying colors, and he's going to be amazed at how well he can pass this test. And Father, we thank you for helping him and prodding him and showing him and putting peace in his heart and not getting anxious and stressed out over it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Is he?
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. All right. That's done. That boy is going to pass it this time. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, I got two prayer requests. The first one, you know, as everyone who came in there before we started, I think is the first one. As I've said, I think before, you know, and I've been kind of silent on it lately. I've been going through that trial between jobs, and I mean, it's been a major trial for me. I mean, a lot of waiting. I think that's been the biggest part, and wanting to, as I was saying there earlier. Always being active, and I think that was the biggest part of the trial. So I'm thankful that tomorrow morning at 9:30, I have an interview with the company that I'll be working through the temp agency. So I'll be a temp, and I had an interview with them earlier this week, and then so tomorrow morning at 9:30, I have an interview with this company now. So, they want to interview me. And I mean, it's, I'll be driving a forklift just like my last job, for those who do not know. And so, yeah, I'm thankful that it seems like this trial has ended, you know, and so that, I mean, it was quite a trying one, you know, to say the least, but thank you, Lord, for opening the door, it looks like. So I just pray that, agree with me that, you know, the Lord would give me the words to speak and just, you know, give me wisdom. Give me favor with this company, you know, and so just, let me go ahead and pray here. Father, I thank you, just for trials. You know, I'd like to say, first of all, thank you, Lord. You were teaching me patience. I think that's a big thing you've taught me through this past 5 and a half or so weeks, is being patient. We don't have the bigger picture like you, you know, we don't see all the pieces. You know, we don't see all the scenarios and everything playing out, but Lord, you know, all you ask for us to do is to be patient. It's to rest and to be patient and trust in you. So I thank you, Lord. At times it was hard, but you gave me the strength. You gave me the grace to endure this trial. And so I believe that it's coming to an end. I thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I pray for just wisdom and discernment during this interview tomorrow. That you would give me the words to speak, you know, and if take away any desires, and give me grace over any temptations to maybe speak too much. You know, that's one thing I've always done, is I'll speak a lot, but maybe it's something, you know, there are times I shouldn't speak. So Lord, I help me just to be quick in my answers and to the point, and not to just ramble on if I do. So Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for just the great favor you create for me with this employer, that they will say, yes, we want this guy. He will be an asset. And Lord, you know, if this is the one, this is the company you want, I pray that you would prepare the hearts of those I will work with on a daily basis. You know, prepare their hearts, Lord. You know, prepare my heart to reach out to others when you lead me by your Holy Spirit. But prepare their hearts, Lord. You know, I pray you'd prepare the ground, so to speak, you know, before, you know, I go. So I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're going to do. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. So, amen. And I got one other prayer request. I just want to pray for, I think this is more for everybody. I mean, I wanted to have it for me, but I thought, well, no, there are other people who struggle with it. The last couple of weeks, I guess the message is yours, Michael. And then David, I've even seen too, that pattern of just kind of, you know, just bit what it, I think yours was a couple of weeks ago on being a disciple, you know, some of those things, those were quite convicting. And, you know, there's, you know, there probably might be someone else here, you know, just the things that were said, you know, just the reality of what it means to be a disciple, you know, denying yourself, putting everything else aside to follow Jesus, you know, and that was real convicting for me. I personally, you know, just, I feel like, you know, in a way, my heart is kind of divided. There's a desire for, let's say, the comforts in this world, you know, just the comfort of everyday life, you know, just to be able to relax, be able to be comfortable. I mean, you know, it, in the flesh, but I think that's something that, well, I don't know exactly how that's connected with the world, but it's, you know, that's something I struggle with. And there's other things, to really just throw everything aside and follow after the Lord completely and wholly. It just, but even I desire, you know, that the Lord would give me that heart, and for others who would struggle with it, that, you know, the Lord would, he would be our first love again. You know, if there's anyone here, if there's anyone who's listening in, you know, that, he's no longer our first love, you know, and we just, we feel like we've gone through the motions, that Lord would change our hearts. You know, that's, he needs to be our first love. You know, he needs to be at the center of our lives. So Father, I just thank you for just, I thank you for this ministry, Lord, of UBM. I thank you for how you're working in all of us, but how in this time of transition, you know, that you're bringing us into, you are working through this ministry to reach many, but to even prepare many within your body. You know, thank you for what you've been teaching me and what you've been teaching us, what it means to be a disciple. You know, a disciple for you, Lord Jesus. Not a disciple for, you know, any specific denomination, but as to a disciple for you, you know, of you, Lord Jesus. So I ask that you would change our hearts, Lord. You would, that, you know, those of us who we've lost that first love, you would return as our first love. You would give us a heart to make it to where you are our first love, to where this world doesn't matter anymore, to where the things of the world continue to just, you know, fall away and continue to just, you know, just those desires continue to fade, Lord. I thank you for the work you're going to do in this area. Lord, help us to wholeheartedly run after you, wholeheartedly seek you every day, wholeheartedly and willingly take up our cross and follow after you, Lord. Lord, may the strivings, you know, may the conflict in our hearts, you know, in our minds cease, Lord, that we say, well, I can follow after you concerning this and this, but nah, not that. Now, Lord, help us to settle it in our hearts that we're going to run after you. We're going to be a disciple no matter what. No matter what the cost, no matter what the consequences, no matter what, we're going to follow you till the end. So, Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in each and every one of us. Thank you for that change of heart. Thank you for that change of attitude, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer.
Yes.
Lord, we just ask and we pray that when he goes for that interview, that he would be short, concise, and to the point. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, because we know you're going to do it. And he's going to get the job. If that's the job you got for him, that door's going to swing wide open in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it, Joe. Amen. Anybody else? Go, Tim.
Josh has got a prayer request.
Okay.
I was making popcorn, and I took the lid off, and the popcorn was flying everywhere. And I went to pick it up towards the stove, and my hand got a big blister on.
Well, in the name of Jesus, we command that blister to go down and the pain to leave in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That is done. Amen. Thank you, Father, for healing Natasha in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now bring me a bowl. Go, Missy.
Past few days, I've had this. I'm not going to go into details, but I've had this problem that is irritating my sciatic nerve, and by faith my sciatic nerve is healed, but I just want to ask for prayer. I'll pray and you all agree if you want to pray something besides or whatever. Father, you know what the problem is I'm having, and I just command this issue to be healed in the name of Jesus, quickly, in Jesus' name. And it is healed by your stripes, Lord, 2,000 years ago. And I thank you, Lord, for healing my sciatic nerve, Lord, and that I no longer have any pain because you bore that too, in Jesus' name. And I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We command that sciatic nerve to be healed. We command all doubt and unbelief out of Missy right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that she's focused on your healing. With that, we thank you, Lord, she's in rest about it. And we praise you, Father, that she is healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And the pain you go to in the name of Jesus. And all associated demons go with it in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that she's healed in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed.
All right. Yeah, Barbara, go ahead. Well, she took off. You got to unmute your phone or your whatever.
There it is. And then I had to get it. I have a couple praise reports and a prayer request. My son-in-law, Joey, today, he had lost his wallet, and my daughter Sarah called me, and she didn't know what to do. And I said, "Well, let's pray. We'll just pray that it be found." And they were frantic, you know, they were upset. But I guess someone had got on his Facebook and told him, "I have your wallet," and for him to, you know, come get it. And I just thought that was awesome of the Lord that, you know, that he had answered that. So I told my daughter, Sarah, I said, "Sarah, this is a sign for you," because she had been having a lot of problems with severe anxiety, suicidal thoughts, and depression and things like that. And I've been ministering to her for a while now. And I come against those spirits. I came against unbelief too, because I think that's what's, because I told her, I said, you need to cry out to the Lord. You need to run over to him. No one's going to save, nothing's going to help you. No one's going to save you except for the Lord. I told her they were spirits. And because she understands some things, but I think she just doesn't believe. That's how I narrow it down to. But anyways, I think the Lord's using this to draw her. Now, and that's why I want you guys to agree with me, you know, that the Lord is using this to draw her to him, and that she would cry out to him for salvation and help, and that she would really repent and believe. And I thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing in her. And I thank you, Lord, that you helped them to find his wallet. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I have another praise report. I had been, the Social Security, you know, was been trying to come after me because I guess my husband, Bruce, had owed some money to them. And the Lord, you know, and I prayed to the Lord now, and he gave me favor, and they waived it. I got the letter in the mail today saying they waived it, so we don't have to pay that, or I don't have to pay that money back. It was a lot of money. It was like $7,000. And a third praise report is I had a lump on the side of my head, and a while back, me and some sisters, we prayed it off, and it's down to nothing. I mean, just like a teeny bump. Before, it was really a raised, almost like a little growth of a tumor or something, but now it's down to just like a little tiny bump. And I just praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for that it's healed in Jesus' name.
It's gone. It's gone. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's great. Awesome.
Yeah.
What else?
That's it.
That's good. That's awesome.
Good. Yeah, the Lord, he's working in all of our lives. Praise the Lord.
That's good. You're showing some faith there, girl.
Yeah.
That's good. That's all. Awesome. Okay, anyone else? Y'all want to hear a good testimony? Y'all want to actually hear the testimony in play? Huh? Okay. I tell you what. Let Tracy and Greg know what I'm talking about. Let me get it up here. If I can. Give me just a second here. Aha. This web page was reloaded because a problem occurred. What are you talking about? Be fixed in the name of Jesus. Aha.
wasn't feeling that great. His voice was in Texas and called by God and a great Bible teacher and a Bible preacher. And there was one weekend he got sick and he caught a flu, like sometimes we catch a little, just an average flu virus. Well, he got up to preach that morning, and as he did every week, and he preached the first service. They had two services on Sunday morning, and he wasn't feeling that great. His voice was a little bit kind of feeling rough, but he preached. And then he went ahead and preached the second service and was feeling a little bit worse. They had an evening service that night, and he told the leaders, he said, I can't preach tonight. My voice is just gone, and I don't know what's going on. And well, what ended up happening was this flu virus attacked his vocal cords. It was a very unusual thing. The doctors couldn't even quite figure it out. It damaged the nerve tissue of his vocal cords beyond repair. Over the next 3 years, he went to 63 specialists and their teams, over 200 doctors, as they tried to diagnose him and treat him. His voice, he said, it felt like the worst case of laryngitis. He said, it felt like somebody choking you, like just pressing up against your vocal cords, like this nonstop pressure against your throat. A year after he was experienced this flu virus, he had to step down from his church. And that's what he felt called to do. I mean, as you know, as a pastor, our voice is kind of important, right? I only do two or three things, and one of which is preach. And I cast vision, and I lead. I preach, lead, and cast vision as the shepherd. And you need a voice. It helps. He didn't have a voice. So after a year, on his own willingness, he said, this church needs to find a new pastor. I don't know what's going on. He was devastated. His family moved down to Houston. His wife got a job because it took him a while to figure out what to do. His whole life he'd been trained for ministry and prepared for ministry, and now he can't do that. Doesn't even have a voice. Can't even talk. He did eventually find a job, but just went through some struggles, depression, discouragement. You can imagine. Pastors are human just like you. Finally, they became a part of this large church in Houston, Texas, a large Baptist church. And there was one Sunday that the Sunday school teacher, the Bible study teacher, wasn't able to go because he was sick. He wasn't able to teach. So they asked Dwayne. Of course, they knew that he was discouraged and maybe thought maybe they could, you know, it would be encouragement to have him teach. And so they asked him to be the substitute teacher. And he's like, I can't teach. I mean, you don't want to listen to this voice. And so they hooked him up with this microphone, the special microphone where they could, you could just barely hear what he was saying and understand it just a little bit. And that Sunday, as he was teaching in a Southern Baptist church in Houston, Texas, it was the only Bible study class in the entire church that actually would audio tape the lesson, because with it being a large class of over 150 people, there might be one or two that weren't there, so they would tape it and then give it to people who were absent or who weren't there. Have two or three tapes laying on the table each week for people who maybe missed the previous week. So they record it. It just so happened that the lesson that was lined up, this curriculum that was lined up, even by the denomination, it came on Psalm 103. He begins to teach. And of course, he's trying to explain the fact that God doesn't heal all the time. Of course, here he is with this voice. And so he's saying, you know, God forgives all our sins, but he doesn't always heal our diseases. And I want you to listen to this audio tape. Pastor Dwayne Miller.
So when the psalmist writes, and he heals all of my diseases, let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. Now you have to be careful on how you do this, because there are folks who carry things to an excess and it becomes a show. And God has never intended that be what it is. God heals in his sovereign will. I don't know why God does things that he does, but I know that he does. And the only thing he requires of me is to allow him to be God and me to be me and let it be. To say that, every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So, the psalmist says, I'm excited. Bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And then in verse 4 he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm a bit overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do.
Why don't you call
me? Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit. And crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. The Lord will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, that's mercy. Or repay us according to our iniquities, that's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Wow. He said, whenever he said the word pit, he later explained, he said the word pit, all of a sudden that pressure that he'd felt on his throat all of a sudden was released. And his voice came back. And then he was able to get back into ministry and get back into the pastoring. And even later traveled the country, wrote a book on what God did and shared that with others. You know, there's something powerful whenever we see a miracle. And I was thinking about that this morning. I think that the most powerful thing is certainly he was blessed, but now I think other people, our faith rises up within us. Well, if God could do that for him, maybe he could do that for me. Yeah. He heals all my diseases. Maybe today you need a healing. It may be a physical healing. It may be an emotional healing. It may be a spiritual healing. It may be a mental healing. It may be a relational healing. It may be a healing you can't even describe. Just like, something's not right. I need help. I need hope. I need healing. We're going to pray right now. We're gonna pray. I want you to think of that one thing. There may be more. Put in your mind, think of the one thing that you'd love to be healed from. One thing. Think about that for a moment. Everybody got it? Now, how many of you believe God's big enough to do a miracle in where you need a healing? I do too. In a moment, we're going to pray. The first thing is, if you would like to know for sure that Jesus is your Savior and Lord, and trust Him in your heart, believing that He died on the cross and rose from the grave, the most important healing that we need is our sins are forgiven and we have Jesus as our Savior and Lord. So if you'll join me and just pray this prayer from your heart to God, say, "Dear God, I realize that I've sinned and I need You. Thank You for dying on the cross and for rising from the grave. Come into my heart and save me. Thank You for giving me eternal and abundant life. Help me to live for You the rest of my life. In Jesus' name."
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know something? Just like that man was doing, he was putting God in a box. But God, in His grace, and God, in His mercy, healed him anyway, just to show him. Now he's going out and telling the truth, I hope. Praise God. That's awesome. Thank You, Lord. Right there in front of all that bunch of Southern Baptists going to God. I tell you what we'd have had right then, you know, if somebody had been there. If somebody had been there that was full of the Holy Spirit, there'd have been a bunch of folks healed that day. Ooh, glory to God. Can't you imagine? Man, that would have been a Holy Ghost party. Thank You, Father, in that Southern Baptist church. I saw it happen in a missionary Baptist church one time. Praise God. All right. Anybody got any comments on that? Yeah, Missy.
You know what? It's like, it blew my mind. You know, he read there, God heals all our diseases. But even though it says that, he's saying God doesn't heal all our diseases. And I'm like, God, it was like God was did that to show him that he was wrong, you know, to show him that he was wrong. But at the same time, he was merciful to him. I mean, can you imagine how humbling that was? Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. That's a video. That's an awesome video to send to people that say that very thing. God doesn't heal all. We don't know why, you know. Well, it's never God's fault. If you don't get a healing, it's never God's fault, you know. So, but anyway, that's wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, Tracy said God even had him write a book. He sure did. He wrote a book about his experiences, I guess. Praise God. Anybody else? Yeah, Dave.
If the Lord would have healed him in a soon fashion, he never would have known the power of God and the way God can walk in your life and make a change. Had now that he allowed him to go through that trial, that long trial, and have to adjust his life and go through all the torment that he did just to get his life back in order with his wife, and then to be brought to that circumstance where now he's on stage again and he has to you know, go through this humiliating circumstance that he doesn't really like, he doesn't enjoy, but he loves the Lord, but he still doesn't know him that well. And the Lord came back in his life to show him how strong and how powerful the Lord he really is and how much he really does love him. He would never have been able to come to that compassion and understanding who the Lord is and his power and greatness. If he had done it real quick in his life, he'd never understand who the Lord was and how great and how merciful he can be, how much compassion he has, and how he can heal in a moment's notice. But the church doesn't see that either. That's why it goes through these trials. And a trial doesn't necessarily mean it's always a trial of our faith, but it's a trial of understanding who God is in our life and what he can do. Like I said, if he would have did that early in his life and just healed him real quick, if he just said simple prayer, Lord, take care of this, and then gone, he never would have gave God all that credit. He would have never understood the power of God and the glory of God to walk in his life and do these things, miraculously step in, make that change. That's the biggest testimony I see out of this. Not just that he healed him, but to show him who God is, expose himself. You know, we see God, we put God in a box because we don't know who he is sometimes that well. And I think that's the biggest, what he exposed here the most to everybody there is he just showed God can walk in and do it miraculously without a problem anytime he wants to show that he's God and he controls all things. Most people don't have that fear and understanding of God. And he talked about the fear of God too in there, which was really wonderful. So that's, you know, how whatever he chooses us to go through in our life, that's what he chooses us to do, to show who he is in our life.
Yeah, that's
powerful.
10 specialists and 63 doctors later, after they sent him home and said, we can't help you no more.
Now, this was probably an attack from Satan, but God allowed that trial to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, in my humble opinion, that wasn't Satan, because he said he felt like something was, you know. Well, I know it was. Yeah, Joe.
Well, after you said how many doctors he went to, that just dawned on me. That's a perfect example of what God's teaching me and you know, how he, what he's done many times, you know, weakness, how he showed up when he was at his weakness. You know, he thought, oh, man, you know, like you said, the doctor said, go home. There's no help for you. You know, you're not going to be healed. He, you know, and he became discouraged and depressed and just like, you know, more than like probably even hopeless. He was at his weakness. I mean, you know, weakest. He was at the end of his rope. And I mean, I don't know if he was suicidal or I mean, if he was going that way. But yeah, he was at his weakest and God showed up. You know, that's a great example. Like, it's where God gets you to where you have no more strength. You know, you're at your total weakest. And, you know, yeah, you either go further down or you go, you know, look to God. But I like how you said that, because that's just like, yeah, that's a perfect example right there. He was at his weakest and God showed up in all his power. So, amen.
Okay. Yeah, Leo.
Yeah, here's that Isaiah 53 verse that he said God's not healing him. It says in Isaiah 53:5, he says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I don't know where he doesn't see healing there. I mean, God heals in many ways. But then Peter, that's talking about something that the Lord's going to do in the future. But in Peter, it says that by his stripes ye were healed. So that's a past tense thing. So that's a quoting of that verse. So again, I don't know where he doesn't see healing there. Because it's absolutely about healing. And it's a physical sense as well as others in the in the Isaiah, and Peter, it's First Peter, it's about healing. So,
yeah, Dave.
You know, we have to understand also where he's coming from. I mean, if he's in a Baptist background, my understanding, they're not real strong on the power and works of the Holy Spirit. So we give them that grace. We give them that where they're at in their life. But how else could he make an impact on this guy other than make him go through that? Because he wouldn't have changed his mind about healing, even if he got it real quick, like I was saying. But because he went through that big trial, this Job trial, this terrible thing to have to go through. But that's how God could come in his life and expose himself. Now, this is God. This is who I am. This is not what you think. And he made that big impact, and he made it in front of everybody. So that he needed that time, he needed that trial, he needed to show that. And that's the grace of God. Just think how terrible it would be if this would have been his Egypt experience in the wilderness, and he rejected God's promises then. Back then, those people were reprobated. Well, God doesn't reprobate like that now. He still has this compassionate heart for his people, and he's showing how long-suffering is with us to come on board in his word. And I think that's what he did with this man. He gave him, rather than 40 years in the desert, he gave him 2 years of trial, and then came in and did a miraculous healing for him. And I guarantee that changed his life. I feel sorry for people that have a hard time believing what they read in the scriptures. And we all have. I came here, I had things I had to overcome, like we all did. And we still are overcoming. But this is that testimony of how the Lord makes us overcome. And it also shows the length and extent he'll go in our life to make us understand who he is and how the word performs. And I praise the Lord that he'll do that. I hope he does that for all of us. I hate to see us go through those experiences if we have to. But, you know, if the Lord's there to help us and make us see who he is and give us that light, and however he does it, you know, I praise the Lord that he doesn't let go and he continues to do that work until he sees it complete. That's how I see this. That's all.
Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Paula, go ahead.
Hi. For me, it's just the Hebrew word for that healing that he talks about in Isaiah 53. Reminds me a lot of the word soteria, because that healing refers to everything. If you look at the definition on Esau, it's to heal, to make healthful. And then it says of God, healer or a physician of men, even of herds of nations, involving restored favor, of individual distresses, to be healed, literal, of persons, of water, of national herds, of personal distress. So even as we talked about earlier, or that man talked about, whatever healing you need, an emotional one, a mental one, a spiritual, physical, this word covers everything. And for me, it's just so amazing that the day and age we live in, we have access to this. You know, we can go onto something like Esau, and we can go and see what it means. Because I've heard that argument so many times when I quote this verse to people, and they will say, but that doesn't refer to physical healing. And they've never gone and looked at the word. And it's there. It's everything. Literally, like David said about soteria and that what that Greek guy said, you know, it's all of our needs supplied. So just wanted to share that.
Well, amen. That's what was going through my mind too. So anybody else? Get Matt and Annie in there. Anyone else? that word, everybody in here probably read the Real Good News, and if you haven't, you should. That's an awesome revelation of our salvation. That word salvation incorporates everything we need. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That means healing, deliverance, freedom from everything. Amen. Yeah, I've heard them talk about it's been misinterpreted before. They think it's some kind of spiritual thing. Yeah, Tim.
Hitting the wrong button there. You know, as we're having this discussion, it kind of occurred to me what he went through and what everybody goes through, whether it be with ailments or, you know, sin that we're dealing with or whatever, that it seems like the Lord lets us, you know, live with it long enough that it becomes ingrained, you know, in the natural, like it's a permanent situation. You know, natural that we're stuck with this, then he can come through and get for taking it away from us and delivering us from it. And so that, you know, that's part of the reason of the trial, I think, is that we deal with it long enough that we think we're stuck with it, and then he comes along and says, no, you're not stuck with it, I can fix this. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And if you don't, here's what happened. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. Praise God. We're going through here locally in the Real Good News. And I'm telling you, I've probably read this thing, I don't know how many times, I can't remember, but it's a bunch. And every time I read it, I get something out of it. If you obey the Lord, everybody in here has access to the throne of God, to the blessings of heaven. We have access to all the blessings of heaven. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Leah.
Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus took away our curse, because curses every man that hangs on a tree. And obviously when he was crucified, he hung on a tree. And he took away my curses so that I could have the blessings of Abraham and the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says there in those verses. So the curse is null and void. So that's all I got to say.
Amen. Yeah, Dave.
You know, one of the things, I'm around people that don't have a lot of faith. And it's been a trial for me to be under that circumstance. And you have a tendency sometimes to be a little bit indignant. You have a tendency sometimes to feel self-righteous because of it and feel like you've got knowledge they don't. But that's not right. God doesn't want that spirit. He'll correct you real quick. I guarantee you, he's corrected me. It's not like we're trying to be self-righteous and indignant, but we get to the point where we're thinking, why can't they see this? Or why won't they come on board? what's holding them back? But they have these, like this fellow, this pastor, had these ingrained ideas. And what's it take? We can't necessarily bring them to the water, the drink, but God can. And I'm just saying this because, you know, we're around a lot of believers in the world that don't have this same kind of faith. How do we handle it? Are we as patient as God was with this man? Can we be as patient as God? We all can agree with the scripture and know what it says, and I have no qualms about that. I am on board with you guys, but I wonder how patient are we with others that aren't with us on the same page? That's where our test is. How do we handle that? How do we come in agreement with them and show them and help them without being overcoming over top of them in their faith and, help them come on board rather than turn them down? We can explain and show the best we can, but it doesn't happen overnight sometimes with these people. Believe me, it's not an easy task. This guy had to go through two years or whatever it was, a long time, this pastor, to finally find out who God is and his power, because he didn't believe. But God had patience, and that's what he did to bring him through it. Do we have the same patience? That's what I'm saying.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Michael, you talked about obedience there. It's funny, I had Deuteronomy 28, my Bible still open because I was reading that today. Anyway, and the fact that David spoke about that last night about obedience, you know, and my Andrew Murray Daily Devotional yesterday was about obedience. And I was just like, wow. And what he says here is so powerful, if I could read it. Okay.
Go ahead.
Says the power of obedience, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. In these words, Christ not only tells what his life with the Father was, but he also reveals the law of all communion with God, simple obedience. In John 14, Christ says, If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. He stresses this point twice more, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Christ also mentioned obedience 3 times in chapter 15. If my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Obedience is the proof and the exercise of the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. 5:5. It comes from love and leads to love. It assures us that what we ask will be given to us. It assures us that we are abiding in the love of Christ. It seals our claim to be called the friends of Christ. And so it is not only a proof of love, but also of faith, as assuring us that whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3:22. For the abiding enjoyment of the Holy Presence, simple, full obedience is necessary. The new covenant has made full provision for this. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep them. Obedience enables us to abide in his love and gives us the full experience of his unbroken presence. Remember, it is to the obedient disciple that Christ says, "Lo, I am with you always," and to whom all the fullness of its meaning will be revealed. Anyway. Thank you.
Amen. That's a good one. Obedience. He desires obedience rather than over sacrifice. Obey till you see blood. All right, anyone else got something they'd like to talk about? Barbara says the whole book is good. Well, I agree. Go ahead, George.
There we go. Considering his audience, especially at the time, and the fact that it could get out online like that, I see his healing as maybe like a sign, you know, as a sign and a wonder for that group. It might not have had so much to do with his, you know, it might have not had to do anything with faith, but the sovereignty of God, like he was actually saying, maybe that was where his faith was that God sovereignly heals and that he has a point in time to stand on, to move from faith to faith and from glory to glory and expand his, maybe climb up out of his own, what his mind could grasp as far as what he'd been taught in the past or beyond understanding, but it just looked like a sign to me for all his, maybe it was as much a miracle for his audience as it was for him.
Amen. I think there were a couple there in the audience that got a little bit wild out there as far as the Southern Baptist goes. But yeah, I agree.
He said when he said the word pit, that's when it happened. So he was in his pit. They were in their pit. There they were trapped, you know, they couldn't come out, and the Lord let them out.
Thank you, Lord. Could be a sign. Could be a sign. Hey, Leonid, how you doing, brother?
Hanging in there, brother.
Good. How's Lexi doing?
He's about the same.
Okay.
He's still kicking. He's still breathing. Mm-hmm. His heart's pounding. That's a beautiful thing.
Amen. Well, we still believe we prayed for him, and we pray for him just about every morning here.
So, that's amazing.
I believe it. Well, actually, we don't pray. We just praise God for his healing. That's what we do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're doing the same.
Amen. Amen. You're going to pop up one of these days and say, "Give me a drink of water and a bologna sandwich."
Amen to that.
Amen, brother. Well, all right, thanks for the update, bro.
Sure thing.
You okay?
What's that?
I said, are you okay?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm doing great. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. I'm blessed. I'm just thrilled, excited.
Did you get all those texts I sent you or emails?
I did. Let's see. I got two of them today.
Okay. Yeah, that's we had a couple of encouraging words from what I had put your thing on the blog, and people had gotten one.
Yeah, good. Really appreciate that. That's awesome.
Okay. Well, all right, Father, we thank you for that miracle. That's a bona fide miracle too. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I know we didn't do anything. It was all the Lord.
Doctors couldn't do anything either, can
they? Oh, they still can't.
Yeah.
They're afraid to touch him.
God's not. God fixed to touch him mightily.
That's right.
I believe
when all the flesh is at its weakest, God is at its strongest. So
Amen. Jesse doing okay?
Yeah, he's doing good.
Okay. Good day. We pray for him too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. He's got a lot of growing pains. He's been struggling a lot with different tormentors on his own too. So
yeah. Well, we look forward to the visit y'all coming down here when you come again. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to talk about? We decided Tuesday to talk about the Holy Spirit, and we had been trying to get to that about the last couple of weeks, and maybe we can get into that a little bit tonight. Did anybody been studying upon the Holy Spirit and what his job is? I know y'all have. I know y'all ain't been lazy.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano. How you doing, girl?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Okay.
I was just going to share a little bit about it, and then but the Lord kind of took me in a different direction, and I just didn't know whether tonight was the night to share what I felt he was encouraging me to share or not. But started out, I was working in my garden this morning, and I was thinking on that you said the topic would be the Holy Spirit, and the two words that popped into my mind were life changing. Because I had gone to a denominational church that they just believed that you got the Holy Spirit when you were baptized with water. So the first time I really heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit was when I went to a crusade that the Prophecy Club had put on. And what they were speaking was totally different from what I had heard originally. But it just really gave me a hunger and a desire to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And I prayed for that, and one of my friends was praying with me, and I really got it rather quickly, and I was just really ecstatic over that, just so happy, because it was just really an awesome gift of the Lord. And the meeting we had gone to, we were probably 2.5 hours from home. But I mean, still, when I got home, I was still, just my spirit was just really blessed. And so I couldn't sleep. And I was just praying and thanking the Lord and praising him for the work that he had done and that he had given me that gift. And that's when this little demon was pacing back and forth along the wall in the bedroom, and had his head down and his hands behind his back, and he was just mumbling and grumbling. And the thing that I just was kind of realizing today when I was thinking back to that, he was just a few inches high, not a big demon, just a little one, like he was cut down to size. And that just made such a difference in my life. And I just have been in awe of the way that God works in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And there's just been a lot of things here recently, but you know, it's like God's timing and his order of things are perfect. Even if we don't really see it at the time. But I was always really thankful that when we left that denominational church, that the Lord put it on the hearts of both of us to seek truth and to know his word. And we just knew that it was the Holy Spirit that enabled us to receive truth, because so much of it was different from what we were taught. But it was the Holy Spirit that helped us to receive it and to believe it. And I just thank the Father that he sends his Holy Spirit to live and to work in his people. And I just know that when he did that for us, it was a life changer for sure. And I would never want to go back, even though so many of those people today, they just can't believe that I am not fellowshipping with them anymore. And they're feeling really sorry for me. But I thank the Lord that he took us from that place, because he had better things for us to do. Because he is God's Spirit. And with him we can do all things. And even though they say, well, I can't be perfect, but the word says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. So it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that character and nature of Christ Jesus can come forth in us. And I just thank him for that, because on our own, no, we could not ever. We could not ever. But he helps us to realize those things that we're doing that aren't right. He helps us to repent and to face up to things and just to turn to the Lord and let him do a work in us. And last week, the Lord revealed a sin in me that I was totally unaware of. I had always thanked the Lord that he had given me a godly husband. And that he put the same desires in us for truth. To me, that was just really a special gift. And we always prayed together and for each other. And it seemed like if a symptom or some emotional thing came on me when he prayed for me, it was gone. And after his passing, I was really missing our prayer time. And feeling kind of alone, and that I didn't have anyone to pray with, even though I know for sure you've all been praying for me, and I know I've been helped through many a hard day because of that. But I've just since Marlon's passing, I've just had a really hard time staying in the house. It just seems like I have a lot to do, but everything has so many memories to it. I just feel so much better if I just go outside and work in the garden or go mow somewhere or just do something that's not in the house. But one morning last week, I had decided I needed to get back into doing what I always did before, which was walking and praying in the Spirit in the morning. So that's what I did. And the Lord started speaking to me. And He said, "You have put your husband before me. You've depended on him and his care for you instead of me. You have made him to be an idol in your heart." And I can't tell you how hearing those words, it was really heartbreaking, because I hadn't realized I had done that. Because when we prayed, we always prayed to the Lord, and we thanked him for hearing our prayer and answering. And so that never crossed my mind. But then the Lord continued to speak to me. And he said, "I want to show you my care for you, my plans for you, that you may grow into a deeper relationship with me. I will take you to places unfamiliar to you, a place where it seems dark, but I'm there with you to shine my light upon you, to bring you my joy and my peace beyond what you have known. Take my hand, together we'll do this. My path for you is a path of light. Take my hand, come and walk with me. I am faithful to those who love me and believe that I am the great I am, that I am your sovereign Lord. There's nothing that has come upon you that I have not ordained. You are in the palm of my hand. Rest in me. I love you for who you are in Christ. I see you as righteous. You must see me as I truly am and who I've made you to be through the sacrificial death of my son. Let the past be in the past. There is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. I am for you, not against you. Cast down your fear of rejection from me. It is not about your work, but my work in you. I have promised to finish the work I have begun in you. I am faithful to my word to perform it." So after hearing this, it was a rather emotional time. But I really did believe that that was from the Lord. And so I repented of that idolatry in my heart concerning Marlon. And I thank the Lord that he has lifted that bondage of just that tremendous heaviness from me. My heart feels lighter than it did before. And I thank him for his presence with me, because I know he is with me each day. I'm not here by myself, even though physically I might be. But it's just been it was a hard thing for me to hear. But I had to confess that he was probably right. even though I didn't realize it. And so I just thank him for his love and for his grace and mercy that he has for us, and that he does draw us to himself. And I just am really thankful for the Bible studies and the teleconferences that I can listen to, because they make a big difference. It's just, I can hear the word even when those things aren't going on. I can listen to them again, and it's really a blessing to me. And I just want to thank you all for your prayers. And I guess that's it. Thank you.
Wonderful testimony. Wonderful word from God, too.
Can we pray for her, Keno?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Father, for bringing such a lovely sister in our fellowship and helping her overcome the things she's overcoming by the loss of her husband, and realizing it's time to let go of the things that she holds so closely and dearly to her, with her past relationship with her husband, and now cling to you more. Thank you, Father, for being gracious and gentle with her and showing her compassion for her and still guiding and leading her to a path of truth, and helping us also see you through her and learning from her and learning God's ways. And thank you for bringing her in our fellowship so we can be richly blessed by her. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that, for getting up. Thank you, Lord, for giving her that word. I think it's not only for her, it's for everyone. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Maybe Gino can write that up, what she wrote, and send that to us so we can have it on the website or something, and also maybe read.
Well, that's a thought. Gino, if you feel led to do that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I guess I could. Should I just send it to you?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Okay.
Lord, we just ask and we pray, Father, for you to continue talking to her. Thank you for your walk with her, Lord, and speaking to her in a way that would lift her up and encourage her, Lord. We thank you for that. We praise you, Father, for your, like Dave said, for your grace upon her and upon us too, Lord. And we just praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for stationing your angels all around the body that she'll know that you're near. And we praise you, Father. Let your Holy Spirit guide her in her daily walk. When she gets out there, Lord, we just ask that you envelop her with your love, that she know you're there. And I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Back to you. Anybody else got anything on the Holy Spirit? Did anybody look at the Bible from Tuesday to today? Did anybody look at the Bible? That's all I'm just asking right there. Okay. Now, who was it that brought up the thing about the Holy Spirit? Was that Denny? Oh, now, wait a minute. Okay. I don't know who it was. It was somebody. Maybe it was Leon. No. Maybe it was, aha, Andrew. It was you. Listen, here's something that I found out. Go ahead, Leah.
If you remember, I asked you a question the other morning about the Holy Spirit. We had a text that talked about Jesus saying he could, you could blaspheme him, but you couldn't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And so I asked the question, why is that, that you can blaspheme Jesus, but you cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit?
That's a good question. Anybody want to answer that? Did you find out the answer to it?
No, I was waiting for you guys.
Okay. I'm going to throw it out there. If we don't come with an answer tonight, we'll check it out Tuesday night. So just remember that. Make a note of it. Make a note of it. When I was going through this stuff, through the Holy Spirit, I went ahead and got my vines out. Went over that, a lot of it. Matthew 1 and 18. Check this out. It's talking about Mary. Matthew 1 and 18. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Matthew 1:20, latter part of that one, 1:20b. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. I thought that quite interesting. I had seen it before, but I had, you know, I just read over it. You know how we do sometimes. Read it like a newspaper. But when you get right down to it, it was the Holy Spirit that brought Jesus in here. And he was led of the Holy Spirit, you know, the whole time, God's Spirit, the whole time he was here. When did he start hearing the Lord, the Holy Spirit, after he was born? I believe from day one. I don't know, it's just me. Yeah, Jim.
Well, I guess, well, no, you said it's the time he was born. So I don't think I don't want to get too scientific, but we know at the moment of conception, when the sperm and the egg join, I wonder if that's when, you know, when he begun to be formed in the womb, was he hearing from God, you know, his father, or when he was outside of the womb, was that the time? So I like how you said that, but I thought, because we know at the moment of conception, that's when life begins. So was that when, you know, around that time, did he start hearing from God? He, you know, heard his father, or was it outside the womb? So I don't know. I just thought about that as you said that.
Yeah, Leon, go ahead. Go ahead, Leon. Wait a minute. You got to unmute yourself. There you go.
There you go. Anyway, I think it was Missy that brought this up not too long ago, but when Elizabeth heard the voice of Mary, John the Baptist, who was 6 months in the womb at that time, leaped for joy. So he had the Holy Spirit. And then Elizabeth had got the Holy Spirit too. So it was probably, I don't know if it was at conception, but I know at least we got 6 months in the womb that they can recognize the Holy Spirit and so forth.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, anybody else got any thoughts on that? Yeah, Wade. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Jeremiah. Can you hear me?
Wait, no, not Your volume is way low. You're going to have to get closer to your mic.
I was just thinking about Jeremiah, who God said that he knew him from his mother's womb. So who would he know? He didn't just know a piece of flesh. He knew a person.
Amen. Yeah.
That's all.
Okay, brother. That's another confirmation. Yeah, babe.
I remember Odin Hetrick was talking about they get their thoughts and where to go and are directed in heaven by the Spirit of God. And that he made a statement that I found interesting when God was talking personally to him, and it was through the Holy Spirit when he was in heaven, about he said he wanted to show him something, and he said he didn't know if he wanted to see it right then. He was fearful. And he said it two or three times, and he said, "Well, Lord, I'm fearful." He didn't know what he wanted him to see, what the Lord wanted to show him. And the Lord said, "We're going right now." And then he took him in that area where he saw all these two beings, you know, and he talked about the water sound from the crystals and the music and one of the crystals. He was talking about the companionship thing at that time. But what I found interesting was he was saying, well, he said Spirit of God when he talked about him. He said, Spirit of God, I don't know if I'm ready for this. He made a conversation with the Spirit of God when he was in heaven like it was a natural thing. It didn't sound like he knew it was God. He didn't make it sound like it was pretty much a natural course when you're then in heaven that's going to happen. So for us to see the Spirit of God mentioned here, that's just a natural course of how he moves in everybody's life, that through the Holy Spirit. I think with Jesus, of course, it would probably been a much closer relationship just because his Spirit already was birthed from God, so he didn't have anything hindering him from hearing the voice of God. But that's just my thoughts.
Well, something else he said. Also, he said the river of life. He said that's the Holy Spirit. And he said,
Yeah, that was interesting too. It sounded like it wasn't just limited.
yeah. The Holy Spirit was the river of life, and you could swim. You just went down into the river of life. You could breathe and all that stuff. And he said that was the Holy Spirit.
Right. He said that water's flowing here.
Yeah. I believe it.
He did say it.
Yep. Holy Spirit's everywhere. He's everywhere. David said if we could see the Holy Spirit, that's all we'd be able to see. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit is our guide. All right, any more verses about the Holy Spirit? Did anybody else look any up? I know Andrew. Matthew 3:11 says, He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Excuse me. What does that mean? He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. What's the fire? I think most of you know. Yeah, Dave.
Exodus 24:17 Well, I'll start. This is where the Lord came down on Mount Sinai. And in 24:16 says, the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it for 6 days. The seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel.
Amen. You know, Ron White found that mount, or so he thought. And there was a physical burning on top of that, he said. He said that the whole top of the mountain was, I believe he said, charred or blackened. And I don't doubt it, you know. Fire of God gets melts away that flesh, don't it? Yeah, Missy.
You took my words.
Okay, I'll take them back. Go ahead.
I was thinking, you know, that this baptizing with fire, it makes me think of power, and that fire burns, like you said, burns up the flesh, you know. It's the power to overcome the flesh. The word is spirit, and by the word, we're crucified, you know, manifestly, or enables us to, just causes us to repent when we read the word, and burns up our flesh when we agree with it, and use it to come against our carnal man, or, you know, which is dead, but, you know, by faith it's dead. But there's that matter of manifestly being dead and only Christ living in us. So, anyway. But yeah, the fire.
The more that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, the more flesh you're going to lose. The more you get in the Word of God, the more flesh you're going to lose. The more you allow God, that Holy Spirit, that's the power of God from on high to help you to overcome. The more you get in there of Him, the more we get of Him in us, the less of us is going to be coming forward. It's going to be that flesh is going to get beat down, so to speak, because the Holy Spirit is walking in. It's just like Gano was talking to Lord Thomas, take my hand. Wait a minute, somebody's got to, that's Leo. Okay. Well, go ahead.
Was that me you're saying go ahead to?
Yeah.
Okay.
You were okay. On, but we were hearing a lot of interference. But go ahead.
Okay. I got two things I'd like to say. One, that the Holy Spirit, when the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the fire came down as divided tongues on their heads. So that's a fire symbol too. And the other thing I wanted to say, when you were talking about Ron Wyatt finding that the mountain of God, and it was burnt on top, the mountain was brown, and then the top was black. But if you went up on the top of the mountain and you picked up the rocks, or a lot of people say, oh, that's just two different kinds of rocks. But if you picked up the rock that was black and turned it over, it was brown. And the spot where you lifted it up was brown too. So that showed that there was a fire on top of that mountain and changed the quartz, the color of it from brown to black. So that was a true fire of God. That's all.
Amen. I'd forgotten about that. Go ahead, Lenny.
I had a thought about this in my life, too. I, You know how it says in the scriptures that it is through much trials and tribulations and sufferings that we enter into the kingdom of heaven? And I've always assumed that these trials and sufferings that we go through and these temptations that is our baptism, because it's what burns up all the wood, hay, and stubble in our hearts. It's what cleanses us. It's what transforms our character. It's what brings forth that fruit. But through it all, the Holy Spirit is given to us as a comforter to sustain us, to guide us, to prompt us, to uplift us, so that we don't lose that faith as we are being shaped and molded and transformed and just purified in that furnace of God. I believe we are, you know, I'm just listening to some of those David's teachings about suffering and enduring that. And I've always understood that that was from God. It was a fire that burns up our flesh. Just a thought.
Amen. I heard a preacher one time, not too long ago, a couple of days ago, maybe, he said that you see people going through trials that when they get through the trials, they make a great man of God or a woman of God because of the trials that they've gone through, the real trials that they've gone through. And he mentioned some people, I can't remember who they were, but anyways, it was some people that had gone through 10 or 12 years of trials, you know, and then when they came through them, they were a lot stronger than most Christians because God had given them the power to make it through those trials. And they had relied upon God to bring them through. And by that, I mean, they got in the Word and they got with God on those trials and stuff. And God brought them through it because of, just like Gaino's doing now, just like Leonid's doing now, and some of y'all are doing also. You get through that trial, you'll be that man that God's looking for, or that woman that God's looking for. I believe that everybody God pushed through those trials is for one purpose. That's to be a better disciple for him, to bring him, to help somebody else when the time comes. That's just my thought. Well, those trials are really tough sometimes. Yeah, go ahead, Debbie. I saw you.
I'm just thinking how in those trials the Lord allows us to go through, this would drive us to the Word, because that Word is the fuel to keep that fire burning. And so we think it's just the trials alone that are purifying us, but the trials should drive us to Jesus, which is His Word, and that's the fuel for the fire, is staying in that Word. And I guess maybe God, you know, I don't know why some people He has go through those trials to get them into the Word. But anyway, some really do go through trials. But every fire needs fuel to stay lit. And so I'm just, when you said that, I just think of how those trials, but takes them to the Word. That's what keeps that. The fuel for the fire is the Word.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like gasoline, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave. That's good, Debbie. Thank you.
I gave you one to stumble on. This is from Luke 12:49, and the title is not peace but division. Jesus says, I came to throw fire on the earth. I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. He goes on to say, do you think I have come to give peace in the earth? I tell you the truth. No, but rather division. from now on, there will be five in a house divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and her daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So again, even this fire that Jesus is talking about, it's going to be a challenge for everyone. When they, you know, it's the fire is it's not only a devouring fire, it's going to cause division too with those that aren't on board with Christ and with us.
Amen. Yeah, he sends these people around us for one reason. That's to get rid of the flesh. He's sovereign, isn't he? And he does that. And he takes, he removes things that hinder our walk. And he puts things in front of us. Yes, he is. He's amazing. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else on the Holy Spirit? Yeah, Missy.
Back on last month on the 17th, I was thinking about, you know, Merle was saying he wanted to get rid of all these weeds in the grass and put some seed down, you know, get some better grass going in there because it's so weedy. And I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I'm thinking such vanity, you know, you know, in the respect of, you know, okay, you know, we're supposed to be getting rid of flesh, getting rid of the grass, the wood, hay, and the stubble. And then in the natural, we're trying to grow grass, you know, and I was just thinking about that. And I was sitting here with my eyes closed, and I had, all of a sudden I had this closed vision. It was like, it wasn't like a huge fire, but I had this closed vision, like I was on the deck and I was just kind of like looking at the yard or whatever. I don't know, but I saw these flames just licking up, you know, and I asked the Lord for a word, and he gave me Psalm 20 and 2. And I found this really, really interesting. And it says, landed on the word strengthen thee. And I'll read 1-3. The Lord answer thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob set thee on high. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. And I looked up that word with a burnt sacrifice. It's 5930 in the Hebrew, and in the Strong's it says means Holocaust. Holocaust. Is that like bizarre or what? And let me look at here quick. Yeah, it's 5930, and this is I gotta find it here quick. I have notes jotted down here, but I can't read my writing. Yeah, it says a step or collectively stairs as ascending, usually a holocaust, as going up in smoke, ascent, burnt offering, go up. And I thought, wow, holocaust. You know, you think about the Jews, the holocaust. You know, they burnt many people in the gas chambers, or, you know, or even killed them and then burn them or whatever. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting, you know? And I was just like, wow. And then also that day, which I found kind of very interesting when I rode my bike, at the 40-minute mark, 40 is number for tribulation, I rode 6 miles and 6.66 miles, you know, which is the beast, you know, the flesh, you know, and it's through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom, you know, but that tribulation is what gets rid of that beast, that flesh in you. But I just like, wow, that was just amazing to me, you know, because, you know, this fire, we're talking about the fire being the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that burns up your flesh. And, you know, and there's more here to what else the Lord was showing me, because I asked him for some more verses. But that's basically the, you know, main part there, but it was just really interesting. I was like, wow, Holocaust. Use the word Holocaust. So.
Amen. What was that reference again?
The Hebrew number? Or the verse?
The verse.
The verses were Psalms 21 through 3.
21, 2, and 3.
Chapter 20, verses 1 to 3.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
I was looking at Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And the third verse says, blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And in verse 4, it goes, who comforteth us in all our affliction, that we be able to comfort those in any affliction through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that's why we have a fellowship, because this really wants to make you come around the people who are going to be in the new fivefold ministry and the man-child and the bride, because they're going to be going through all these afflictions. But these two verses, you know, and a few more down there show you how a person who's already been comforted and is mature in the Lord can comfort all other people. It's kind of like an affliction. I can't say it's an affliction, but it's, you go through the affliction so that you can help in someone else's comfort. And it also works for the apostle too, because if you read down a little further, they were afflicted, which befell us in Asia, and we were way down exceedingly beyond our power. So they were comforted by the Lord there too, with the coming of Titus. So makes you kind of wonder that if there's anyone who's praying for someone and they get an answer to prayer for the Holy Spirit to show up to comfort them in their affliction, that they get comforted because there is an answer to their prayer too, and an answer to their ministry from the Lord, all from the Lord, of course. So that was just one of the things, you know, and when I read this chapter here, I sort of labeled it as it speaks of the Spirit in action, the comforter, you know. But it's all from the Lord, because that's what it said in verse 3. But it helps each other from a person who's already been through it. And when you make these testimonies, a person says, well, if it worked for him, it should work for me. And you get to have these things just by hearing that this is actually happening in someone else's life. That's about it.
Amen. That's right. Testimonies always help. Well, we're about out of time. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that were answered tonight, because I know they were. I thank you for giving us all great and bold faith to believe that when we do pray, that you answer. And Lord, we thank you for taking our hand and leading us and showing us what you have for us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, and to show us the things that you want us to get straight in our life, or whatever it is, Lord. We want your instructions. We don't want our own. We don't want nothing but you, Lord. Matter of fact, Father, I just ask that you fill every one of us up with your Holy Spirit so much so that there's not anything left in our hearts but you, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that when we come together again Tuesday night, that it's going to be an awesome time, because we're going to talk again about the Holy Spirit, if that's where you lead us, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless everybody tonight with a good night's sleep and possibly a couple of dreams, Lord, about what's going on, what you got in store for us, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. Bless you.